So God has a message for somebody today, amen? Are y'all going to receive the message? I hope you do, and share it with others. Because every time I pray and put the service together, I think of each and every one of you. I do. And I said, you know, there's people here today that aren't here today that I know would need to hear this. But we're going to do it anyway. Can I get an amen? Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. That's our promise for tomorrow, but we have a promise for today, that our joy will be full. Let's just love God more today than we thought possible. Sponsor reading, Psalm 51. For those of you that might not know, this is the psalm where David wrote after he realized everything bad that he had done in his life. He realized the sinning that he had done, and he realized that he had to confess to who? God. And he knew that God was where he sinned against. And in this psalm, you'll understand that David got on his knees and confessed his sin. And as the psalm goes further, you realize that he's already asking for favor. That's how David knew the God in heaven. That even though he had sinned beyond what y'all call evil, the things that he did, he got on his knees and said, "Forgive me, Lord." And knowing how God is forgiving and compassionate, in that same prayer, he's asking for blessings. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me." See, he took it all off. He put it all on him. He didn't want anybody blaming God for anything he did. And then he said, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." That means his heart. "And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom." You'll understand that hyssop is something back in those days that they cleansed themselves and cleaning and everything. That was a very important thing. Things that you use today might be a little different. But he's just saying, "Purge me, cleanse me, and I shall be clean. clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen. And hallelujah. And he was believing. And as he was praying, he was believing God for the answer. Amen. And that's how we need to. That's why we don't judge anybody. We can't judge anybody because God says to, you know, forgive first and you know, take the plank out of your own eye before you judge somebody else. Amen. If more people did that, I think there'd be less finger pointing going on and a whole lot of people getting into, you know, compassion. Can I get an amen? Now, I don't want to get, you know, political. I just want to say last night after the game, we watched a Tennessee game. After the game, there was one player on Tennessee, and the camera went to him. He had his helmet off on the middle of the field, on a knee, bending over on his knee, thanking God, praying to God, thanking God for the victory. Amen. And it was a beautiful sight to see. I wish they had spent a little more time on that. Amen. That these people understand that God gives you the blessings to either play music or whatever you're doing in your life, and the talents that you have, they're all gifts from God. And this man understood that, and he got on his knee and thanked God that he got through the game healthy and that God blessed them with the win. Not that God didn't bless the other team, amen, because they were blessed just by being there, but he gave thanks to God for the victory, amen. A lot of times in victory, people forget to give God that. So that was kind of special to me to see that. Praise the Lord. Anybody ever have a problem with your family? You know, for a couple of weeks now, we've been talking about that, and I've been telling you what you need to do, but I haven't told you how to do it. And this week, that's why I say this week, there's some people who really, and we'll go over this again and again and again until I get you strong enough to understand it, amen? But having problem with family has never been anything new, amen? It's been in the Bible. How many remember David and Goliath? You remember that story? And here's again where the proof is, Sergio, that I tell you, this is the living word. When you talk about David and Goliath, you think of David fighting Goliath and winning the battle, amen? But there's so much more to that story, so much more to the two pages in the Bible that talks about family and talks about how to deal with family, amen, and the things he went through. And let's just start. I'm going to do this, and it'll go right to the sermon too. So it's in 1 Samuel 17, if you want to look with me. I'm going to jump around for a minute. Now the Philistines had gathered their army, amen. The Philistines were the enemy of Israel, right? Amen. So there they were, the battle's over here, and the men of Israel over here, and they're going to start the battle, and they're facing each other. They're encamped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up a battle array against the Philistines. And 17:3 will say, the Philistines stood on a mountain. Try to picture this. On one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath. And it talks about how big Goliath was. And then Goliath looks at them and he says, why have you come out to line up for battle? And he's saying, am I not a Philistine and you the servant of Saul? Saul is the king of Israel, amen? So when he says the servant of Saul, he's talking about our God, amen? He's talking about Israel. He's talking about God of the Bible. And he says, and this is what his challenge is. He says, choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Then 11 says, when Saul and all Israel, how much of Israel? All Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Amen. Now let me tell you, there were three fellas in that battle, in that army of Israel. You know who they were? David's brothers. David was the youngest brother. Amen. David was a shepherd boy. David had to watch the sheep. Anybody besides Jim know anything about sheep? You know they need a lot of watching. They can't take care of themselves. If a rabbit came in, they'd probably run away from the rabbit. Amen. They needed protection. David was the shepherd of the sheep. Amen. And the brothers knew that. That's what he did. Amen. But let me tell you about family sometimes. They don't know everything that you do. How many know? You understand what I'm saying? They don't know the battles you fight every day. They don't know the adversities you face every day. They don't know the things that you've done to get to where you are today. Amen. They have no idea. I get that from my family when they used to say, put the guitar down and get a job. Why don't you get a job? And I said, you don't know the hours I'm spending practicing my guitar. This is my job. But they didn't ever look at the hours that it took me to be able to learn how to play guitar. They just said, get a job. Evidently, the guitar wasn't a job. Amen? So I understand that. Now, This is where, this is, like I'm saying, this is the living word. So if you read these two or three pages, you're going to get other things from the story besides the fight. Now, David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judea. He was the son of Jesse. And Jesse had eight sons. David was the youngest. The three oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul in the battle. So there you go, right there. In Samuel 17:13, it tells us what? David's three brothers were where? At the battle. So they were army men. Amen? But wait a minute. How can that be? Because it says two lines before that, that all of Israel was dismayed and greatly afraid. The three oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. They name his brothers. David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented him 40 days and 40 evenings. Hallelujah. So Jesse tells his brother, Jesse tells David, go take this food, take all this, take a wagon, take this food, take it to the army, find out what's going on, David, and let me come back and let me know how my other sons are doing. I want to find out how they're doing, find out what's going on. So David obeyed his father. How about that? Amen. He tells him to take the grain and the bread and run to the brothers' camp and carry these cheese to the captain and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose in the morning. He left the sheep with the keeper and took things that went. Jesse told him, amen. And he came to the camp of the army, was going out to fight, shouting for the battle. Now this is David, all right? It says, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of a supply keeper, and he ran to the army and came greeting his brothers. Like I can imagine it. He saw his brothers and he was so happy, and he greeted, then he talked with them. Hallelujah. There was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So it says here, Goliath says the same thing that he said the other day, challenging him. And David heard them. Who heard it? David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, today, have you seen this man who has come up against us? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. He won't even have to pay taxes. Taxes? Page 584 of the Bible, they're talking about taxes? Whew. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, David said, What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? Amen. I'm telling you, there's somebody who's standing with his God. Amen. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be for the man who kills him. Now, y'all tell you, you got trouble with your family sometimes? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Imagine that. His oldest brother was now mad at David. He wasn't mad at Goliath, amen. He wasn't worried about Goliath. He was mad at who? His brother. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see a battle. David gives us in three lines how to deal with the first problem when somebody in your family or somebody close to you is coming against you. Amen. Listen to what he says. David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one did. Did David argue with his brother? No. Did he start yelling at his brother? No. Did he act like a fool because his brother was a fool? No, because when a fool talks to a fool, guess what? You got two fools talking together. And you hear things that are just unbelievable. Amen? So when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Can you imagine that? The shepherd boy, amen? Because his brothers only saw him as a shepherd boy, Karen, as a little man who took care of sheep. Like my family saw me just plucking on my little guitar, had no idea, amen? But they didn't know, and I wrote that down. Hallelujah.
Even brothers did not know all David had faced, all he had overcome, his strength, his adversaries that he rose above. David believed in his God, amen? And he believed in himself. But there's, you can only believe in yourself when you've worked to it, amen? You can't be until you work at it. You have to work hard at what you believe in. Work hard at what you do in your life, amen? And then you can believe in yourself. And he believed, amen? He stood his ground but did not fight with his brothers. You know why? He knew better. Amen. It was his wisdom that kept him strong, safe, and this is a big word, in control. Amen. It was David's wisdom and his confidence in God and confidence in himself that stopped him from arguing with his family, because that argument was going absolutely nowhere. Amen. So when he goes to the king, and the king says, David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And here's where David just stands up and says, now listen here, king. Your servant, him, he's talking about himself, used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Amen. And you know the rest of the story. Amen. David uses a weapon that he is so efficient with. Some people call it a bolo. It's a strap. He put a stone in with a rope, spun it, and threw the rock and hit Goliath in the forehead. But David, that wasn't the first time he used it, amen? I could picture David for hours sitting there watching the sheep, using that little bolo, I call it, whatever you want it, whatever you... I can imagine him, Chuck, just sitting there looking at a tree and bopping a tree and looking at a flower and hitting the flower and looking at something else and hitting that. Knowing he could hit something from 30 yards away with that thing anytime. He was so proficient because he practiced, amen? Because he took the time to practice, that when he faced that giant, he knew exactly what he was going to do. The Bible tells us that he went to the brook and he took 5 stones and put the smooth stones in his pocket. And he knew exactly what he, but only took 1 stone, amen? When he put it in, he swung it around and hit Goliath in the forehead, amen? But David faced so much more than his family ever understood. And they didn't have any clue what he did, amen? And no clue what he did with the bear, with the lion. They were too busy worried about themselves, amen? Too busy seeing themselves. And the Bible tells us that the 3 oldest brothers, what were they? Afraid. Amen. None of them were going to go fight Goliath. And I wrote this. Hallelujah. Notice he did not try to change their mind. He did not try to change what they were thinking. Or was he concerned about them changing their minds or their ideas? Because David knew better. Amen. His wisdom was his strength. When you're dealing with people close to you, you have to understand, you have to stand on that rock. It may seem that those closest to us will come against us. We must know better. We must simply stand on the rock. Our lives, our dreams, our desires, our sickness, the prayers, we need to stand on the rock. Amen. If you want your life to change every day, you need to stand on that rock. Not to fight with the fools who come against you. Not to fight with people who come against you who don't know what you've done all day long. How you've watched the children. How you made the supper. All the things that you did, ladies, all day long while your husband's at work and he comes home saying this or that. He has no idea what you went through. How to keep the house warm. How to keep everything clean. Amen. All the things that you are, everybody, and the husband. When the husband goes to work, ladies, understand the hours he's putting in. The people he has to deal with. The work he has to deal with. The cold he has to deal with. And people mad at him. And this person yelling at him. All day long he's faced this. And he has overcome that when he comes home. Amen. He has overcome all those battles. You need to see him as you need to just lift him up. Just like the husbands, you need to lift your wives up together. You need to do that together, because together you're stronger. Amen. You need not fight with those who, and trust me, they're going to come against you. You're going to have people tomorrow come against you. Oh, your faith is nothing. Oh, your God is nothing. Oh, I don't believe God can change that. And you need to stand up and say, He's already changing it. He's already working in my life. I'm standing on the rock. I will not argue with a fool, amen? Because once you argue with a fool, you sound like a fool, amen? If you argue about something that's a lie, you're both arguing about something that's not real. And I see that all the time. You see it everywhere all the time. Something that's not true is being discussed, and you wonder, what are they discussing? There's nothing reality there, amen? But that's what the world does. As believers, we got to be like David and understand David faced the same thing you faced in his family, in his life, and he's been victorious for one reason, because he believed in who? God. Psalm 51, on his knees after he committed murder, after he committed adultery, after he lied, he got on his knees and asked his God to forgive him, because he knew how compassionate and loving his God was. Amen. So let nobody judge you for anything you've done ever, because God has forgiven you. And if God has forgiven you, that's good enough. Amen. Can I get an amen? So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we know in this book is so much gold. We just reach in and dig some of it out for our daily lives, Lord. We see that David, what he went through. We see, Lord, that his brothers mocked him and made fun of him and ridiculed him. His own brothers, who should have lifted him up and should have been proud of him, didn't even know what he did. But David didn't argue with them. He didn't fight with them. There was nothing to be gained by fighting. He knew that that was an empty battle. He looked to God to give him victory in the battles that matter. He stood his ground. He stood on that rock. It helped him. It helps us with our lives today. It helps us with our dreams today. We're not too old to dream something great for tomorrow, if you dare do it. Plan something for tomorrow greater than today, if you dare to do it. Say, God, I'm going to take that. I'm going to try something tomorrow, and I want you to be with me. If you dare to do it, God will walk with you. For your desires, for sickness, when our families face sickness, when we face it, we say, God, will you lift us up? You keep us whole. You keep us together. You keep us one, Lord. Hallelujah. And for our prayers to be answered. When you pray to God, you need sometimes to stand on that rock, and the wind's going to blow and the storm's going to come sometimes. You know, Satan hears you praying, and he hears the words that you're using, and he'll use your words against you unless you stand on that rock and say, I will not be moved. I will not be moved. I pray to God. He's brought me to this day in January 2018. He's not going to stop now. When we leave here and go have lunch, God is going to be with us. He's going to lead us. We're going to find favor. We're going to have things in our life because of God. We need to stand on that rock and let more people know that there is truth in this book. Truth, gold in this book that we can all read. I read 2 pages of this book today, and it touched us. We can relate to it. We can relate in 2018 to something written on page 352 of the Bible. If that isn't telling you how living in this book is and how real our God is, I can't prove it to you. You got to try it for yourself. So I pray you do that today and heal those families around you and heal those. Give them that love. In Jesus' name I pray. Hear my prayer, Lord. Everybody, amen. Give him praise, church. Let him hear the praise this morning from this house. I'm not going to hold back because there's only a few of us here, amen. I want God looking down, seeing faithful, amen. I don't want to say, well, there's just, you know, maybe I can just cut it short today. Because I have so much food and I have so much excitement inside of me. And these words in this book are so awesome. Awesome. Say that with me. Awesome. Hallelujah. I won't do it all, but I'm going to do a little because I can start next week and pray that some folks are here next week that need to hear this too. Amen. Everybody needs to hear it. Amen. But we're in a place where we can get it today. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes, if you go to 4:9, I'm going to read that if you want to read with me in a minute. How many know this? If I can get an agreement for everybody today, we all need companionship. Amen? We all need that companionship. How about we all need help? Can you all agree that we all need help one time or another? And I will tell you that when we realize this, we become stronger to face all adversity. Let me say that again. When you realize those two things, then you realize that you become stronger to face adversity because you're not alone. We all need that. And right here it tells us this gold on these six or seven lines I'm going to read from today. Talking about us, talking about your life with your husband, your family, and talks about the church. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines. 9 lines on page 1389 of my Bible changes people's lives. And I get this from Solomon. Anybody remember who Solomon is, Walter? Remember Solomon, the guy with all the wisdom? Asked God for wisdom, and God gave him more wisdom than he. So I'm going to go to somebody who's a little smarter than I am. Nobody even laughed today. Usually I get laughter. You don't believe he was smarter than me? Maybe I'm buying. Oh, careful. Never mind. Maestro. A9th. Solomon had words for us. Amen? And it says, this is very interesting. Two are better than one. Can you say that with me? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Amen? For if one falls, one will lift up his companion. He said, but woe to him who is alone when he falls. But you have a family here. Amen? Look around. I know they're all not here, but you have a family here. Understand that you're not alone any longer. Amen? You have help. I said, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm? Though, and this is interesting. This is about the church right here. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We have a threefold cord right here. We have the body of Christ right here. You have your family right here. Joseph, Mary, George, Elaine. Amen. We're praying for Gladys to get well. She's getting better. We're praying that the weather will break so we can get her back to church. Amen. We're praying for George and Pat. Amen. We're doing something together. Amen. We're holding together because we're better together than we are apart. Amen. And just like at your home, you're better together. Amen. You're better. You're stronger together when there's two. Amen. When something happens and you have somebody else to lean on, somebody else to hold you up. That's why the last part of the testimony is important to understand. You don't know what your husband went through all day long. You don't know what your wife went through all day long. You don't know what your friend went through all day long. Amen. So you don't know. So when you come back together, understand how important they are to you. Amen. How important your words are to that person. And how stronger when there's health in your house, how much stronger the house is. Amen. When your husband is working hard or your wife is working hard and they're doing things, you hold them up. You lift them up. You make them healthy. You say thank you. You say thank you. You love them. You show that compassion and that tenderness. And that makes them ready, stronger. Amen. Just like it says, two are better than one. Amen. And we don't want anybody alone. Amen. John, we never want you alone. We want you to know this church is your family. So you're never alone. You might be in your trailer some night and it's really cold out thinking, no, you're not alone. We're all there with you. We'll all be there with you because we care about you. Because that's what the house of God is. That's what your church is all about. Amen? That's what coming together. That's what coming to church is all about. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 25:15 says, you don't have to go, I'm going to read it to you. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks bones. I love that. By long forbearance. And let me just say what forbearance is, brothers and sisters. It's patience, self-control, and restraint. Amen. Listen, by long patience, by long self-control, by long restraint, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks bones. Amen. It simply means that gentle tongue destroys pride. Amen. It destroys the pride and takes away that pride, and then it breaks their bones, because some people are just full of pride. Amen. They won't see anything because it's about them. But that forbearance, that patience, and that self-control and that restraint breaks that pride. They can't fight against that. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10:32 says this: "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." And I challenge everybody here today to understand that. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. If you call yourself smart, if you say you're pretty smart and you're pretty wise and you got some wisdom and you've got understanding, okay, that's good. I want you to have that. And I want you to feel righteous, because in God's eyes you are. But understand that the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. And I wrote this because the Proverbs 10:32 says wicked, but I wrote underneath it fool. I'll read that the way I wrote it. But the mouth of the fool, what is perverse. Amen. So if you understand what these Bible verses are telling us, and how to face these adversities, and how to face these family troubles, you'll be stronger on the other side, because you understand arguing isn't going to win that. But you need to stand on your faith. You need to show your faith. You need to be patient. You need to be constrained. And you need to have the strength of God. Hallelujah. Yes, you do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I'll just go to the end. This is beautiful. 12:9, Ecclesiastes. "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs." Many what? Hallelujah. "The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth." This Bible, words of truth. Thank you, Lord. "The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd." And what are goads? Those are the things that they used to use with ox, like ox goads and gourds. They had a little metal object on them. Jim, you know that, right? With the cows. When you wanted a cow to go one way, you prodded them, you hit them with that, and you led them one way. Well, I'm not using goads. I'm using the word of God, but I'm like a spear. But in other words, the words of the wise are like goads, like I'm trying to direct you, trying to, not to my wisdom, not to my opinion, not to what I think, but I'm trying to direct you to what God wants for you and God's ways. And it said the words of the wise are like goads, which means you can use those same words against people coming against you or against anything you see, like goads. You just poke them, lead them. "And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd." How many shepherds? "The sheep know the master's voice. And further, my son, be admonished by these." I love this part. I do. "Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh." That simply means that there are so many opinions out there. Can I get an amen? Can you all say amen to that? God is telling us in one line, "Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." Because what you're going to be reading is somebody else's philosophies, amen? How we should live, what we should read, what we should study, opinions about life, amen? And God is telling us there, "Of making many books, there is no end, but you'll become wearisome trying to understand them," amen? Hallelujah. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And Solomon tells us this at the end of his book: "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment." How many works? "Including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is peace. Amen. God is comfort. God is wisdom. God heals our land. God heals our hearts. God does that. Amen. This book does that. This book leads us. Sometimes it goads us to go, because it's that important, that this book will put a spear in our side and try to move us in the right direction, because God wants us to find that peace and that joy and that love. Hallelujah. God heals our hearts and homes. So I tell you this morning. Stand on that rock. Can I get an amen? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give him praise.